بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، brothers and sisters, الحمد لله رب العالمين. We have a deen in which we do everything with a dalil. We do everything with some proof and evidence. And the proof and evidence that we use comes from one of two sources, or both the sources, which is the Quran, the Kitab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Book of Allah, or the Sunnah of His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, which are the Ahadith and Nabawiyyah. We do not follow whatever is called tradition, or we don't follow what our forefathers used to do, or any other thing, if that is not supported by the Quran and Sunnah. Even when we follow any of the Imams of Fiqh, even when we follow any of the Ulama of Islam, even when we follow any of our Salafus Salihin, we do that because they followed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that particular action of theirs which we are following is something that they learnt from their predecessors who learnt from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that has been passed down to us. So therefore we do that. We don't do that because so and so did it. We do it because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did it. I think it's very important for us to understand this, because otherwise there is a lot of misunderstanding. And when people talk about madhab and so on and so forth, and we say I follow this madhab and that madhab, alhamdulillah, there is no problem with following any of the madhahib of Islam, any of the maslaks, as they are called in this country. There is no problem, you can follow any of them. But please understand that the reason you follow the madhab is not because Imam Abu Hanifa followed it, or Imam Shafi followed it, or Imam Ahmad followed it, or Imam Malik followed it. You follow it because Imam Abu Hanifa, Malik, Shafi, Imam Ahmad, rahmatullahi alayhi majma'in, followed Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. And therefore we follow them. We don't follow them by themselves and not for that reason. Alhamdulillah, we are witness to the fact that they used to follow Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and therefore we follow them. Now, the reason I'm saying this is because we are in the month of Muharram, and it is one of the blessed months of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in this month, one of the things that is recommended, which we do, is fasting on the 10th of Muharram, on Yawm al-Ashura. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in one hadith, narrated by Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, that he said, if I live until next year, I will also fast on the 9th. He did not live the following year. So as far as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's practice, what he actually did was concerned, is that he fasted on the 10th. Now, when we fast on the 10th, we must understand this, that the Quraysh used to fast on the 10th of Ramadan, even pre-Islam, even before Islam. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to fast on the 10th of Ramadan, even in Makkah. And then after that, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fasted also on the 10th, even in Medina. When Ramadan was, Ramadan was prescribed, the fasting of Ashura was abandoned. In a hadith in Sahih Bukhari, narrated by Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, he said Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to fast on the 10th of Muharram and ordered the Muslims to fast on that day. But when the fasting of the month of Ramadan was prescribed, the fasting of the Ashura was abandoned. And Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu did not used to fast on that day unless it coincided with his routine fasting by chance. There are many such hadiths from Bukhari, from Muslim, and so on. There's one from Sayyidah Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha, also in Bukhari. She said the people used to fast on Ashura, the 10th day of Muharram, before the fasting of Ramadan was made obligatory. And on that day, the Kaaba used to be covered with a cover. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the fasting of the month of Ramadan compulsory, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa said, whoever wishes to fast on the day of Ashura may do so, and whoever wishes to leave it can do so. Again, another hadith, and there are many more, but I will leave it with this. Narrated by Salama bin Al-Aqwa radiallahu anhu, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he quoted and said, once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ordered a person on Ashura, the 10th of Muharram, to announce, whoever has eaten should not eat any more but fast, and whoever has not eaten should not eat but complete his fast till the end of the day. Now, as I said, there are many ahadiths about this. There is one hadith about, again from the from Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha, also from Bukhari. She said the tribe of Quraysh used to fast on the day of Ashura in the pre-Islamic period, and then Rasulullah ﷺ ordered Muslims to fast on it till the fasting in the month of Ramadan was prescribed, whereupon Rasulullah ﷺ said, he who wants to fast on Ashura may fast, and he who does not want to fast may not fast. Now, it's very clear that the fasting of Yawm al-Ashura is something which is not fard, it is nafil. And if somebody wants to do that, that is good for them. And if somebody does not want to do that, that also is good for them, inshallah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he came to Medina, he mentioned that if he lived for the next year, and that is a hadith which is narrated by Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, which is in Sunan Ibn Majah. He said that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if I live until next year, I will fast the 9th day of Muharram also. And this is a general practice of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he always did things in Islam which make it stand out in comparison with anybody else. So to distinguish, in this particular case, to distinguish between the fasting of the Jews, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said this, and he said it only in Medina. In Makkah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fasted only on 10th. And his whole life he only fasted on 10th. But he said, if Allah gives me life, I will fast also on the 9th next year. So, alhamdulillah, it is a good thing to fast on 2 days, because this is a recommendation from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, it can be 9th or 10th, 9th and 10th, or 10th and 11th. But if somebody fasts only on one day, it is not haram or anything. This can also be done. But ideally, better to fast on 2 days, either 9th and 10th, or there is also a misconception, misunderstanding that the fasting of Yawm al-Ashura, the day of which is Ashura, comes from Ashara, which is 10. So Yawm al-Ashura is the day of the 10th of Muharram. People have this mistaken belief that this has, or this is in commemoration, or for the mourning of the Shahada of Hussein ibn Ali radiallahu anhumah. Please understand, let us understand one thing very clearly, or two things very clearly. Number one is that the fasting of the 10th of Muharram has nothing to do with the Shahada of Hussein ibn Ali radiallahu anhumah, because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was fasting this fast even before Hussein ibn Ali was born. And he continued to fast when Hussein ibn Ali radiallahu anhu was a little boy in his lap. He was healthy, he was well, he was happy. And on the 10th of Ramadan, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam still fasted. So the fast has nothing to do with Hussein ibn Ali radiallahu anhu or his shahada. As far as the shahada itself is concerned, it is one of the most deplorable, one of the most despicable, one of the most disgusting, one of the most horrible, horrific incidents in the history of Islam. And it is an incident from which we need to take a big lesson about what hubbud dunya, what the love of this life, of this world, what the love of power and the love of wealth can do to somebody, where Muslims were able to kill the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Muslims were the people who killed Hussein ibn Ali radiallahu anhu and his family, and these were the direct descendants. He was the grandson of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam from his favorite daughter, from his youngest daughter Fatima Zahra radiallahu anha. And I don't have the words to adequately condemn this action. There is no two ways about this. The Muslims have always condemned this action, and this has nothing to do with being Shia or anything like this. The love of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his family is part of our aqidah. It is part of the creed of this religion. Imam Shafi rahmatullahi said that if love for the Ahlul Bayt, if love for the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is what makes somebody a Shia, then he said, I am a Shia. Now, we're not talking about that. We are saying this is love for Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his family. And believe me, the family is not only Fatima, Ali, Hassan, Hussein. The family is also the other daughters of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the family is above all the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specifically mentioned in the Quran in Surah Al-Ahzab. And he addressed them directly and he said, Ya Nisa An-Nabi. He said, the women of the Nabi, the women of the Rasul, meaning the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When Allah is specifically mentioning them, and he called them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called them Ahlul Bayt, then obviously, if somebody says that this applies to Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, and it applies to Hassan and Hussein, well, they were not the women of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So it applies to them because of a hadith where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gathered all of them, and the only reason he gathered all of them, he gathered Fatima radiallahu anha, Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, and their two sons. He gathered them under his cloak, and he recited the Ayat of Surah Al-Ahzab, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, we have purified you, O family of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam gathered them under his cloak and said that only because they were right there. Obviously, the other daughters of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had already passed away. So he couldn't have gathered them also along with them, along with these people under his cloak, and the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam were elsewhere. So the point to understand here is that we believe that Sayyidina Ali, Sayyidina Hassan, Sayyidina Hussein, Sayyidina Aisha Siddiqa, Sayyidina Fatima radiallahu anha are the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We love them, we honor them, we respect them, but we also respect Sayyida Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha, Sayyida Khadija al-Kubra radiallahu anha, and we respect all the other wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we respect the other daughters of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We respect his two sons who died in infancy. We respect the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we take the word of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam about deciding who his family was. And he mentioned Al-Abbas, he mentioned the sons of Abbas, and he mentioned even Salman Al-Farsi, and he said, they are my family. So when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam decides who is his family, we don't come in between and we don't say, well, you know, so and so is your family and the other ones are not your family. This is not our aqidah. So our aqidah is we respect all the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam equally, not some more than others. We respect them all equally, we love them all equally, and we honor them all equally. Having said all of that, as I said, the action of the Shahada of Hussein ibn Ali radiallahu anhu, we condemn it completely and totally and unequivocally and unreservedly, without absolutely any hesitation whatsoever. It was a contemptible, horrible action, and it's a lesson of what the love of this dunya and the love of power and money can do to somebody. A Muslim finds it possible to order this, and a Muslim finds it possible to carry it out. Now imagine, this is how horrible it can get. And that's the reason why we need to correct ourselves and correct our belief in the Akhirah to make sure that we don't destroy ourselves with the love of this dunya. And Ashura and the Yawm al-Ashura is a good time to remember that. This is something that I want to remind myself and you. Let's remember all this. As far as the fasting of the 9th and 10th of Muharram is concerned, Alhamdulillah, it's a nafil fast. By all means, do that. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you with the best of the best. And those who cannot do that for whatever reason, then Alhamdulillah, inshallah, there is no problem with that either.
In one hadith, as far as the benefit of fasting on Yawmul Ashura is concerned, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned in a hadith which is narrated in Tirmidhi, where he said, fast the day of Ashura, for indeed I anticipate that Allah will forgive the sins of the year before it. So, alhamdulillah, it's a good day to fast, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his mercy. The hadith which I mentioned was narrated by Abu Qatada radiallahu anhu, and it is in Sunan Tirmidhi.
We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalalu to accept from us that which is pleasing to Him, and to make what we give pleasing to Him, and to save us from everything which displeases Him. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika arhamar rahimin.